Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson, and this is episode 216-216. And it's also an episode marking our 10th anniversary. Yes, The Dream Show has been going for 10 years, and we're still going, and we have no intention of stopping at producing a show every 4 weeks. And today's guest on the show is Patty from Seattle, and you'll be hearing from her a little bit into the show when she'll be talking about her dream about parachuting to Italy. We'll be exploring her dream, finding out what it means and what insights she can find from her dream to apply to her life. But first, because this is a special anniversary edition, we have several people who have sent in special messages, and you'll be hearing from them in a minute. We have people giving you messages from the United States, from England, from Slovenia, from France, from the Czech Republic, and from Australia. So stand by to hear those special messages coming up. I'd also like to give my personal thanks to you for listening, whether this is the first show you've ever listened to, whether you've been listening for a while, or whether you've been listening, as I know some of you have, for the whole 10 years. And hey, if you think you're missing out, you can go to janetheresa.com and you can actually listen to every single show that we have done. And you can always listen to the last 10 on iTunes as well. Thank you also to those of you who share the episodes or your favourite episodes with friends and colleagues around the world, helping people to learn the tools and techniques of understanding their dreams, and also just enjoying that kind of fly on the wall thing about listening to somebody share their dream and finding out how it relates to their lives, and as a listener, taking away ideas for how to approach your own dreams. And also, I think one of the things that many people tell me they value from listening to this show is just that feeling of listening to someone share an aspect of their life through a dream. And we all resonate with different dreams or different aspects of dreams. So there's always something we can all take home and apply for ourselves, whether it's in understanding our dreams or whether it's in understanding our lives. Thank you. A very big special thank you also to those of you in the past who have put up your hand and volunteered to be guests on the show. I do know that it's a very nerve-wracking thing for many of you, because essentially what happens is you put up your hand and you say, I'd love to be a guest on The Dream Show. And we tee it all up and we phone you, as we have indeed done for Patty, who appears later in today's show. And we press the record button, and I know nothing about the dream until we do that. So what you hear when we have a guest on the show is the guest talking about their dream, me hearing it for the first time, and us exploring it together. And that takes a lot of courage from people to volunteer and do that. So thank you, big thank you to everyone that's ever been a guest on the show, and those of you that are thinking right now, maybe I'd like to be a guest on The Dream Show in the future. And if you would, go to janetheresa.com, go to the podcast, and you'll find on the menu there, you'll find how to be a guest on The Dream Show. It is a volunteer thing, as I said before. I'd also like to give a huge thanks to Michael, my husband, who has been here for every single one of the 10 episodes, doing all the technical stuff behind the scenes, not only doing the recording, but doing the post-production and all of that. It's a very, very, very big job. So The Dream Show would not be here, and you would not be listening to it if it wasn't for Michael. So let's now go to all these beautiful people who were also brave enough to record a little voice message and send it in. Here we go.
Greetings. My name is Cynthia Newell, and I am located in St. Louis, Missouri of the USA. I enjoyed being a guest on Jane's show because it enlightened me. It opened me up to the various interpretations of my dream. As a dream interpreter, sometimes your view can be limited, but in speaking with Jane, I was able to get an expounded view and meaning of what my dream meant. And so I'm so honored that she does this work wholeheartedly. Thank you.
So 10 years of The Dream Show, and I missed the first 8 or so. I've only been around for the last year and a bit or so. This is Caroline. I'm talking to you from southwest England, near the Bolgiat bit at the bottom left, for those not in this country. And I've been listening to The Dream Show for the last, I don't know, year and a bit, something like that. And I came to it from doing research for a previous dream analysis course just for fun. Just for fun, why not? And I came upon her at the Dream Academy. And it blew the whole other course right out of the water. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what depths there are in dreams? And can you imagine that it's possible to actually unpick them and find out your deepest soul's desires? Can you imagine? So it's actually a gift to be able to listen in to other people's dreams. It's really, really kind and really, really brave of people to call in. I never have yet. Maybe one day. And if you haven't looked at the courses, I recommend you do. I've only done the first one. And it's just the biggest eye-opener. It's like a real deep look into your soul. So the podcasts, have a listen. There's so many of them in there. And it's wonderful to listen to Jane Teresa's expertise and to get some insight for yourself as well. So enjoy.
And here's Viv from Brisbane, Australia.
When I was young, I always had really vivid dreams, and I'd relay them every morning to my very disinterested mother, hoping for some insight. 24 years ago, we moved to Australia, and I discovered you, Jane Teresa, through a dream book. I went on to do a dream course with you, which was fabulous, and along with your book, Dream Alchemy, they helped me understand my dream world better. Now, all these years later, I struggle to sleep through the night and am usually pretty sleep-deprived. I had started to listen to podcasts in the middle of the night to help me get back to sleep, but finding the right material and the right voice was a challenge. Then I started listening to your podcasts, and I found your clear, gentle voice very soothing and calming. While the subject matter of the dreams is interesting enough to engage my mind, but also surreal enough to make it check out and help me drift off to sleep again. So thank you so much, Jane Teresa. These podcasts are fantastic.
Hello, Jane. This is Marieta from Slovenia. I would like to share what I enjoyed having my dream interpreted. I'm reluctant speaker, so I really like that Jane gave the opportunity to interpret my dream by email. As I recall, that was a very, very deep interpretation. I couldn't imagine to go to that level. I would like to express my gratitude for having the opportunity to be the guest on the show. Bye.
And here's a message from Barbara from Sydney in Australia.
Congratulations, Dream Show, 10 years. That's excellent. I was trying to think back when I first listened to the Dream Show, and I think it must have been near the beginning. It was quite about 10 years ago. And I was always interested in dream and dream interpretation, and I think I must have found it by accident through a Google search perhaps. And then I decided to ring in as a guest dreamer. And I'll always remember that it was a very intense experience. The interpretation that we came to together with Jane was very intense and raw. And I listen to it every now and again. It's on the website. And yeah, it's interesting to see the huge changes that have happened for me since that time. So I love the Dream Show. It's one of my favorite podcasts. I really enjoy listening to other people's dreams. Often I find that there's a lot of correlation with my own life, if not now, that at some point in my life. I also really enjoy it when Jane reads out her blogs. She's such a great writer. I love how she makes connections, the synchronicity that she has in her everyday life, and how she connects that to the dreaming world, and how important it is to pay attention to our dreams. So thank you for all the hours of education that you've brought, Jane, for your great insight and personality. I've also done some mentorship with Jane at times when I've really needed to shift things in my life, and they've been very powerful. And so I'm very grateful that I know you as a teacher as a friend, and as a mentor. Thank you so much. Congratulations.
Hi, my name is Dana Sofia Šlancerová, and I come from the heart of Europe, from the Czech Republic. And this is my story for Jane Teresa and the Dream Show. I am really so grateful for the possibilities that the internet offers us these days. Because 10 years ago, when my son was still very young, I had very wild and vivid dreams that I wanted to understand. And of course, I went and searched through a lot of dream books, but nothing felt really appealing to me. The symbols or situations that were described in those dream books simply felt totally opposite to what I myself was feeling inside as appropriate, adequate, or true for me and for that particular dream of mine. So I started to search the internet thoroughly, and it didn't last long, and I found Jane Teresa's site and her books and her articles, and I was just taken away because it was speaking directly to my rational mind, and I'm very rational, and it explained the inexplicable. So I started to use Jane Teresa's methods, and I was really getting a better understanding of my dreams, and my life became changing because I learned to communicate quite efficiently with my subconscious. And I have to say that my dreams and the dream work, including the dream alchemy, helped me incredibly, even in a recent breakup, because I could see what's inside me, what is really going on, and what I need to work on in order to feel better and get better results in that quite a difficult situation that I was in. I've been following Jane Teresa ever since I found her first book, and I've been enjoying her articles and podcasts immensely. And I've been also so lucky to present her work to the Czech public via translations of her articles and mentioning her work to whomever is able to understand English and is interested in dreams. So I wish Jane Teresa and the Dream Show many happy returns, and no matter how far geographically we are, we stay connected. Thank you, Jane Teresa.
It's Kerry here from the Sunshine Coast, and I'd like to tell you how much I've appreciated listening to your Dream Show over the last 10 years. I've spent many days listening to your podcast while painting canvases, and I've learned so much about interpreting dreams and therefore gaining insight into my self-defeating beliefs. But best of all are the alchemy practices you teach to change these self-defeating beliefs and patterns of behaviour. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Jane Teresa, and I hope to enjoy another 10 years of successful podcasts with you. All the best for the future.
Hi, my name is Dominique from Paris, France. Congratulations to the Dream Show and their 10-year anniversary. Thank you for working with me back in 2014 on repetitive dream patterns that I was having. It was really quite refreshing to go back and listen to that segment again. Moreover, to see how there was a manifestation and I was instrumental in getting HR to assist a colleague, and that was really very good. And also thanks for reaching out to me so that I can get back on to the show and start working through some other segments, patterns that I'm having currently. Congratulations and many thanks. Bye.
So thank you all of you for those lovely messages. We're going to go now to Patty. Well, we're not going to go to Patty because actually we recorded this a little while ago, a couple of weeks ago. So I know this dream already. But that's not what you hear. When you hear me talking to Patty, you'll hear me hear her dream for the first time. And I think you're going to really love this one. But just before we go to Patty, a mention of the websites, janeteresa.com. And the Dream Academy, which is my learning platform where you go if you want to take courses online to learn how to interpret your own dreams or how to become a dream therapist, the address for that one is dream-academy-online.com. Both of those websites are evolving and changing all the time. So if you haven't been for a while, do pop along and have a look. And I do have to say that one other thing we're celebrating as well as our 10th Dream Show anniversary is the fact that the Dream Academy has been moved to a very, very, very fast server. We got to the point where we had so many students that it was getting a little bit slow. So we're really pleased to announce that you couldn't really get much faster than the server it's now on. So do go and have a look at the Dream Academy at dream-academy-online too. But now on to Patty. Welcome to the Dream Show, Patty.
Oh, hi. This is my fourth time.
I know. I'm really excited to have you on the show again because we've been going for 10 years. We touch base with you every so often and have you on the show again. And you've obviously got a lot out of being a guest on previous shows.
Oh, I've seen a lot of people about dreams, but nobody does it like you do. It's amazing.
Oh, that's really lovely. Thank you for that.
And then I get so much out of it and I do the assignments. I'm really good.
Oh, you're a good student. That's great. You do your dream alchemy. That's what makes the difference, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
And you're in Seattle. You come from Seattle. How's life in Seattle at the moment?
Seattle's really growing by leaps and bounds. It's very congested. People don't want to pay their taxes. The road, the traffic is bad. On the other hand, we have the most mild climate anywhere, and right now it's probably 60 degrees and it's supposed to be that way all week, you know, and it's not even the end of March. So we have daffodils, tulips, crocuses, all these flowers coming up. It's beautiful.
I so miss daffodils, you know, because I was born in the UK and we don't have daffodils here in Australia. I so miss daffodils. Anyway.
Oh, there's beautiful daffodils all over, and the squirrels are running around all over, and I know you don't have squirrels either.
No. Okay. What a wonderful, diverse world we live in, and what wonderful, diverse dreams we have as well. We're ready for your dream, Patty. What have you got for me?
Okay. So I had this dream a little over a week ago, and the title is Parachuting to Italy. I'm tired. I'm really tired, but with a long-range, beautiful goal in mind. And I'm drifting thousands of miles, even though I'm tired, by parachute to Italy, to the island of Corsini. And it's there I know a widowed man who lives alone after he recently lost his wife to cancer. I arrived to his beautiful old home. It's light and airy with a lot of wood paneling. He's got a lot of other relatives staying there, but he tells me not to mind, and they leave us alone. He suddenly grabs me behind the door and hangs on tightly, very sorrowful hug, but I'm happy I'm there, and he's expecting me. He takes me to his bed and is an affectionate but sad lover, and I'm already beginning to question the nature of our relationship. He is expecting too much, and he's rather presumptuous, vulnerable, grief-stricken. He needs me to soothe him. And, you know, suddenly he's very sweet and affectionate, but he pulls out a condom, and he starts snapping and popping and stretching it, and I'm going, oh, my God, what did I get into? And the sound is annoying. I mean, I know it's really, like, pissing me off. And I keep thinking and checking the time. I need to call my husband. My husband's name is Carl. I tell the man I'm with, I must be home tonight or Carl will worry. It's too late and dreadful for me to think of floating all the way back home by parachute. The battery and its red light are flashing that it's on low, and I'm not sure it will get me home. So I spend the night, and I plan to return tomorrow across the seas by parachute with a recharged battery thousands of miles. Although I don't remember much about the journey there, but it seems daunting floating all that way back home as if in a hot air balloon, possibly on a low battery. I can't remember if I ever really plugged it in. I feel I abandoned Carl, and I will have to lie a bit. I'm torn about what it is I love most. Probably will never return here to see this man. although I am called many times recently in real life to travel to Italy, to the area of Assisi, and to see the land where St. Francis wandered and his tomb where he was buried. And then I woke up.
Wow, I love the idea of parachuting and floating all that way, and then the huge journey coming back. What an unusual dream.
Yeah, I used to fly in dreams, and I don't do that anymore, so this was really interesting.
Is this the first time you've parachuted in a dream?
Yes.
Right. And when you, although you don't fly anymore in dreams, have you had other mechanisms of flying in dreams apart from the parachute?
Running from plane to plane, getting on a traditional airplane. But no, I mean, I was the one that flew and my arms were wings. And so that was always really easy for me. And this is the first time by parachute.
I love it. And yet it was a worrying parachute. It was a lovely trip over, but coming back, it was more concern about whether you really had recharged the battery, and the trip felt daunting.
Yes.
When you, on the outward journey, even though you were tired at the beginning of the dream when you were parachuting to Italy, were you concerned about the ability of the parachute to get you there? Or what kind of emotion did you have apart from being tired at the beginning of the dream while you were parachuting?
I was so tired, but it was exciting. I had no question about it getting me there, and all of a sudden I was there. So there was absolutely no fear.
No fear at all. And in waking life, have you ever been parachuting or?
Thought about skydiving. I've never been in a hot air balloon or skydiving. There's an amazing annual international balloon festival in Albuquerque, New Mexico every October. But I've never gone, but I had a friend recently invite me. But that was last fall when he was talking about it. So.
A long time before the dream, yeah.
Yeah.
And my only other question about the parachuting at this stage is, I know there is a book out there that came out probably about 20 or 30 years ago called, it's a self-help book called What Color Is Your Parachute? Are you familiar with that book at all?
I've heard it. I never read it.
Okay, so because you haven't read it, that's not your unconscious mind bringing up the parachute as a symbol of that. That's good. Because I think it's a book about finding your path in life or finding your special talents or, what color is your parachute, meaning, you know, identifying what it is within you that can get you from A to B when you didn't think that you could. I think that's my memory, reaching back about 30 years. So if any part of you knew that the book was about that, it may or may not, the parachute may or may not be in your dream as a symbol of that, you know, how to get somewhere that within my life, or identify my talents within my work or something along those lines. But let's just go with the idea that a parachute... Well, could you describe the function of a parachute to me? A parachute is used to...
Well, usually for skydiving, but this was like, it was my own little mini hot air balloon. I don't even remember ever getting in or out of it. But it was like a hot air balloon, but in my dream, I refer to it as a parachute, and that's all it was.
So it was absolutely a means of transport and nothing else in your dream?
Nothing else, no other type of transportation.
And I love the way that it was so slow. You know, as you say, in other dreams, post-flying dreams, you've gone by plane, but in this dream, it took you by a really long, rather beautiful, slow kind of route, and it's exciting, far more exciting than in a plane, and you had no question about whether it would get you there. So, you know, the beginning, right up the first part of a dream often is symbolic of or represents what the rest of the dream is going to go on to explore. So we have right at the top, I'm really tired, I'm really, really tired, but I've got no question that I'm going to get to where I want to go. I do have this, as you say in the dream, this long-term goal. And even though I'm really, really tired, I'm still excited about that goal and I have no fear about it. And I really know that I'm going to get there and maybe I'm going to be buoyed up like in a hot air balloon. I'm going to be taken there. It's going to be an interesting and unusual journey and I'm not questioning it. That's kind of like the beginning of the dream. And then from there, the rest of the dream basically explores, which we will go into, well, where are you going? Where is this goal? What does that bring up? What are the challenges and issues? And so on. So right to begin with, my feeling is that that's what the dream sets out to do, to explore the long-term goals that you've got and your excitement and your total faith in them, really. Oh, that's interesting that you say that in waking life, you often think of going to Italy, to Assisi, to in real life, to explore where St. Francis was. So there's a kind of faith thing happening there. What do you connect Italy with otherwise, and particularly Corsini, where you went in the dream?
Well, I've taken care of patients from Italy in the early part of my nursing career. I have friends that have gone to Italy that, you know, mention going there and how beautiful it is. I'm always writing, and last fall I was kind of feeling down, and Soul Essay or Spirited Soul Essay. I just started writing, and I wrote an essay entitled it The Dark Bird of Joy, and somehow I got onto my middle name, which is Francis, and then St. Francis came up because the synchronicity was I stayed in the St. Francis Hotel in Santa Fe, and I just picked it because I heard it was the oldest there. So I don't know. There's all this synchronicity around Italy, and now my yoga instructor is planning a yoga retreat in Italy for next year. So it just keeps coming up.
Ah, yes, there's a lot there, isn't there? Yeah, I love it. And the yoga retreat in Italy, you know, for someone who's really, really tired, the idea of parachuting to Italy for a yoga retreat sounds pretty good as well. I like the interesting there that you said, you know, that last fall you were feeling really down and you did the soul essay. So I was then thinking, well, that's really interesting. You know, feeling down is to feel like weighted to the ground or not have the energy. But in this dream, even though you're tired, you're actually floating high up. You're actually the opposite to down. You're very high up. And with a feeling of no question, you're going to achieve this thing. So there's also that aspect there of, you know, maybe where you've been feeling down in the past, this is the opposite. This is the, okay, I may be feeling tired and even down before this dream, but here's the opposite to down. Here's excitement and the idea of being lifted up and going somewhere where I really need to go. So, you know, at surface level, it may even be as simple as your dream might have started out to process the idea of, ooh, maybe a yoga retreat in Italy is exactly what I need at the moment. You know, it will counteract feeling down, feeling heavy. It will be exciting. It encompasses all kinds of long-term goals. It will lift me up. It will be like a parachute or hot air balloon. It will lift me up, and I've got no question that it will do me good. So, you know, to some extent, it may reflect thinking about or dreaming about whether or not to go on the yoga retreat. But of course, dreams always go much deeper than that. So we'll go in. And I love the way too that you were drifting. You said you were drifting by parachute to Corsini. You weren't flying or floating. You were drifting. And there's always a lovely feeling in drifting, isn't it? Because drifting, I don't know, to me, drifting is what you do when you don't have a specific goal. You just kind of drift and see where it takes you. And yet in the dream, you did have a specific long-term goal, you said, and yet you were drifting towards it. So there may be a sense...
I was drifting. It's almost like I was like hypnotized and I felt so good, but I didn't notice at all any of my surroundings. I just knew I was drifting a long way.
Oh, that's really lovely. So in that feeling of being hypnotized, there may have been a sense of really being more deeply in touch with your unconscious mind, you know, our hypnotized mind. not aware of what's going on around. So I think we might be getting to some really good unconscious stuff here. But also that feeling of sort of going with the flow of drifting towards the goals that you've chosen with no question that they're going to get you there. And again, may be a sense of faith here. I'm not sure. So you get to Corsini, and I'm thinking Corsini. I can't hear any plays of words there, can you? Corsini doesn't sound like anything, doesn't sound like another word. Corsini.
No, not really. No, might come up later. Mm. Well, okay, the closest is, you know, when I'm in bed with this guy, I'm thinking of the sacred wedding, Jung's Canuncio.
Yes.
I don't know if it's close enough for that.
Mm. It could well be Canuncio, Corsini. There's a similarity there. So let's have a look at that. So then you go to Corsini, which is in Italy, and it's an island off Italy, isn't it? Is it an island? Yeah, so it's an island. So you're going to an island where there's a widowed man who's alone. So again, you've got an isolation thing, an island, and then a man alone. So there's a real sense of this goal or this place you're going to is a sense of being alone. But of course, the widowed man doesn't want to be alone. He wants you very, very much, and he's a bit overpowering, and he absolutely wants you in his bed in a very loud, poppy, snappy kind of way. So there's a kind of there's a bit of tension there, or a kind of a set of opposites between being alone and being very much not alone, being intimate or being someone being too close to you. So there's a sense of playing around here with the issue of how much am I on my own or want to be on my own, or how much do I want to be connected with other people. And all that, my mind is still saying, plays into the yoga retreat kind of feeling as well. When you go on a yoga retreat, you're alone, but you're with other people. But anyway, so his house, I like the fact that his house is light and airy and made of wood. So what did you feel about the house? If the house had a personality, what personality would you give that house?
Warm, friendly, wisdom, cozy. I'd have to say,
So that's lovely. So there's a sense of remembering that everybody and everything in the dream represents something about yourself. There's a sense of going to this place where you're maybe sort of on your own, and it's going to a warm, friendly, wise, cozy part of yourself.
That's familiar to me.
And familiar, okay. So there's also there a sense of, you know, in order in the dream to have to leave where you are and go all the way to Italy to find this warm, friendly, familiar place, there's a sense that you haven't felt that for a while. I'm really tired because I haven't felt that warm, friendly, wise, familiar kind of sense. I've got to go all this way to get back in touch with that again. And when I get there, there's a widowed man. There's someone who has been abandoned, I guess, in many ways, because his wife has died. He may feel abandoned. So when I get there, maybe I, Patty, find a part of myself, the widowed man, who's sort of been abandoned, who finds himself alone. And if you're going down the Jungian route, because you mentioned Jung there, you know, he may or may not be an aspect of your yang, a part of your outer world that has felt, where you have felt left alone or abandoned or on your own to some extent.
Stricken, yeah.
Yeah. And yet here in the dream, you actually do, it does feel a warm and friendly place. You don't fear being alone. You feel quite comfortable being alone, and it does feel familiar. And yet by the same time, you want other people around you, or you want integration, or you want something happening here. So you question the relationship, but you realize that he's being presumptuous, and you, from your nursing background, diagnose him really as being vulnerable and really needing soothing more than anything else. So at that point, we can say there's an aspect of yourself that has been feeling alone and maybe abandoned, and maybe it's been needing some attention, and you haven't been paying attention to it because you've been so tired. But that part of yourself is maybe quite vulnerable and just needs to be soothing. Which, you know, the sheer fact that you're tired would tend to be correct. You know, there's a part of you that's been vulnerable and needs some soothing, but that part of you wants more than that. It wants condom, snap, pop, make lots of noise, come to bed with me. It wants all the bells and whistles as well. So there's a part of you that wants to really get out there and do things and get things happening and move away from being alone and move into making things bigger and making things happen, but you're questioning whether that's presumptuous and maybe really in being tired, it's more like a time to acknowledge your vulnerability and the need for soothing, and really, as in the start of the dream, the need to have a long, lovely drift by parachute instead of a quick, fast, snappy trip by plane. Time to take time out while pursuing your goals, but in a long, leisurely fashion.
Yes.
It's interesting that, you know, even though your husband in real life, you said, is called Carl, and you were referring to Carl Jung earlier. Yeah. At that point in the dream, you're going, oh, I've got to check the time. I've got to call Carl, my husband. So the part of yourself that really is interested in Jungian dream work may at that stage be looking at that, because you made the association between Corsini and Jung's sacred wedding,
Penitia.
That's right, yeah. That reference to calling Carl at that stage may not just be your husband, it may be the Jungian idea there.
It's possible. I'll look it up later. I mean, I remembered something about that sacred wedding, so that's not really, it's more, it had deeper meaning than just going to bed and for the affection, yeah.
Yeah, has more than that. Michael's just passed me a message because he's been on Google to find Corsini, and he said he can't find it anywhere as an island. He only finds it as a reference to a family name.
Yeah, that makes even more sense to me, actually.
Hmm.
So probably because of confidentiality, I can't say anything, but that comes from 30 years ago in my career. So yeah.
Okay,
But I was calling it an island. In my dream, I thought of it as an island, and in my dream it had that name. So actually, that's very interesting. That makes a lot of sense.
It does. It's interesting, isn't it, how your dream would be so clever. Your dreaming mind, well, of course it would be clever. It's a part of you. Be clever enough to think, I'll make this an island because we're on this theme of isolation and aloneness and being on your own. But I'll make it an island because someone somewhere along the line is going to go, hang on, that's not an island. And then it's going to give you the real clue into what Corsini stands for. So although we can't, particularly talking with everyone listening, we can't breach that confidentiality, it does relate, Corsini as a family name does relate to you to 30 years ago in your career. So we've got your career, which we touched on earlier when I suggested to you that the widowed guy, because he's a male, might be the Jungian, the yang side of yourself, you know, particularly your work and your career. So it's bringing whatever happened in the 1 or 2 days before your dream resonated with, most probably, what happened 30 years ago in your career around this Corsini thing. So it's like something has come up again now, connected with your long-term goals.
Oh,
because
you cut out a minute.
Okay.
You
can hear me. Okay, that's lovely. Because at the beginning of the dream, you had the idea that you had the long-term goals that you were pursuing. It's possible that in the 1 or 2 days before the dream, you were kind of perusing those long-term goals and maybe even tying those into the idea of going for the yoga retreat as well. But that in that processing, your dream then connected back to whatever was happening 30 years ago with that event in your career. Let's call it the Corsini event. Because it had a resonance with what was happening in the day or two before your dream, or it has a resonance with the career goal that you've got at the moment. So although there's confidentiality around that, is there anything that you can say that what kind of vulnerability that event 30 years ago gave you?
Yes. So I don't know how much I want to say at this point, but I started a book, and I've started it so many times, but now it's a real go, and I'm very vulnerable, but doing a lot of writing, and I'm needing to be more patient. But it does incorporate much of my earlier career and why I went into this career.
Ah, okay. So congratulations on sitting in with your book, by the way. That's fantastic. So in contemplating that book, it has taken you back to that time and your dreaming mind is going through all of this. And so part of the parachuting long-term goal in your dream and the exciting long-term goal, one of those goals may be seeing the book published. So, you know, bringing in any story that people are going to read about, of course, gives us all a vulnerability, and your dream is going to explore that at many levels as well. So I'm sort of getting the feeling then that the condom snapping, popping, loud sounds, everybody's going to know about this, could almost be like, yeah, this is what happens when you publish a book. Do you just wait for the media, snap, pop, or crack, snap, crackle, pop?
Oh, yeah, believe me, that is very daunting, and I've thought of that so many times, and I've been shut down so many times, and now I don't care, but then I do think about reviews and people's comments and how you see other people and how much you want to tell the truth and how much you dare tell the truth.
Yes. Oh, look, this is absolutely fantastic. And, you know, thinking about all those things in advance means that by the time you do actually publish the book, you'll have done all that work and you'll be ready to face all of that. So, you know, that will be a good thing.
I'll be calling you.
Yeah, I can give you lots of tips on that. And the time will come and you'll be ready. And this dream is obviously exploring a lot of that too, which is fantastic. So in the dream, do you actually go to bed with the guy in the dream in the end, or do you step away from that?
I do, and I remember hugging him. He got out that condom and annoyed me, and then I remember calling. I told him I have to call Carl, and then we both fell asleep, and I remember waking up in the morning, and I still wasn't sure to trust the battery if I really plugged it in or not.
Right, okay. So there's a sense of often when you often but not always, because, you know, we can't take a dream dictionary approach, but often when you fall asleep in a dream, it's often taking you like into a deeper unconscious level, and then so that when you wake up in a dream, woke up and then checked your battery, it's almost can be symbolic of awakening to something, as in noticing something, becoming aware of something in your dream. And what you became aware of in the dream was, yes, but am I really ready? Have I plugged in the battery? Do I have the energy for this? So there's that aspect.
Yeah.
Now, looking back at my notes, I saw that I did write down here that you said that he was in bed, he was affectionate but sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there may be elements of that, Patty, in your book that you're thinking, you know, when it comes out, the result of bringing this book out, maybe bringing out some aspect of sadness and affection. And I'm not sure how I feel about that, you know, in talking about other people in your lives or events in your life and portraying that. But
there's also anger, which somebody picked up the other day when I read part of it.
Anger, did you say? Yes, yeah. So all of those things that will be actually really good to write about and good to find resolution for in the writing and really good to share with people, but that you'll feel vulnerable about unless you're prepared when it's published. So in the dream, you have already slept with him. You've done the deed, even though it was affectionate and sad. You did do it. So there's a sense in the dream that you have kind of amalgamated this idea. Yes, I am going to write this book. I am going to do this thing. I have got this on board. My only worry here, apart from getting home, is my worry about I've abandoned Carl and I'll have to lie. So in dreams, that's a kind of almost touches on the common dream theme of, you know, your partner's cheated on you or you've cheated on your partner, the betrayal, which, of course, really always worries people, but it's totally symbolic. So Carl, your husband in your dream, is more likely to represent your yang, you know, your male side, as it has always been or as it has been for all these years. So there's a sense in the dream, as always, when we contemplate moving on in the world in a new way, we have a sense of, oh my goodness, but we're abandoning the old way here. You know, in integrating with this widowed man, this part of myself that I have left alone for a long time, that may relate back to 30 years ago, something I wanted to do 30 years ago that I'm picking up again now and writing this book. But if I go ahead with this, I feel like I'm abandoning my old way of life represented in the dream by Carl. And how am I going to cope with this? And in the dream you say I may have to lie, and you sort of insinuated that slightly earlier about the book. You know, the trouble with the book is how much truth to tell and how much to tell the truth in a different way. So we've got all of that there at the end of the dream. Am I abandoning the way that I've always been? How much truth am I going to tell? How much am I going to lie? So, you know, in because this is the first time that I've understood that you're writing a book, so I'm only going by what you've told me in this podcast, Patty, is that you're writing the book to show how everything has led up everything, that event 30 years ago led into the kind of work that you do now and where that's brought you up to today and even brings you up into writing the book to share everything that you've learned both personally and in your profession with other people. And you've got all that laying on the line. So once people are reading that book, you are then appearing in a different light in your career in many ways, both in the future career and in looking, casting your mind back over your career. And so other people's, your readers' views of, or people that know you or thought they knew you, their views of you will change as well. So there's all that consideration in the book. Yeah. Do I like, and have I got the energy for this? Because, you know, I'm really not sure if I've plugged in my battery.
Yeah, and there's a huge sense of vulnerability because it's a memoir, and I'm being really encouraged to write some really revealing things, to go back and, you know, why did I become a nurse? What was it like to grow up Catholic and have the parents I have and that kind of, so writing about family and then, you know, keeping a lot of confidentiality around physicians who've shared things and patients, and it just goes on and on. Yeah. So, yeah, but I need to do it. There's no question now at this time in my life. I'm not even hesitant anymore, although my dream showed. I'm certainly still working that out.
That's absolutely, you know, that's absolutely fabulous. And you did mention there that your Catholic upbringing. So, and of course, you mentioned Francis Assisi too, and Italy. Well, you know, Italy. So,
yes, my middle name is Francis.
Yeah. So, you know, the dream may also have been bringing in, apart from Corsini being a direct reference as a family name, may have also been bringing in Italy as and the reference to the yoga retreat, but may also have been reference to the Catholic religion as well. So the bottom line of this dream, the very ending of the dream, was that you felt that you would never return to see the man in Italy?
Right.
And how did you feel about that at the end of the dream?
Confused. I wasn't sure if that was really true. It felt like, it didn't feel so finite. I'm kind of like, yes, I say this, but maybe I'll return, but I don't want that same relationship, or maybe I don't want him to know I've returned.
So if everything we've talked about so far, I mean, my feeling of the widowed man in Italy was that although he was sad and he needed soothing and he was vulnerable and he represents an aspect of yourself, that you may not want to revisit those aspects of yourself, but you would want to continue a relationship with that aspect of yourself to strengthen it and build it up and heal it.
But have a different relationship with it.
Yes. So if we move that thought to how would you describe, what kind of relationship would you like to have with that aspect of yourself now, look going forward?
To have more self-compassion and allow myself a sense of freedom, not smother myself with, and ostracize myself with, negative thoughts and negative, you know, self put downs, negative statements, obstacles to my writing, I guess, so the side of me that needs to do that.
That's absolutely beautiful, and it's really good that you're really clear on that and those things to work through. So in terms of the dream, you know, at the end, your confusion about, do I want to go back to that man or not? It's almost like part of you is going, I don't want to go back to that complete sense of vulnerability and sadness, but I do want to go back if the relationship's changed. I want to go back and grow and heal that part of myself so that I can, so that all those gifts come out of it, just as you mentioned, there's self-compassion, freedom, not smothering or ostracizing yourself by negative feelings, not having self-put-downs or putting obstacles in your way. So in a sense, there will be a return to Italy and that man symbolically, because there's that healing work to do, which no doubt you are doing through the writing of your book.
Yeah. I somehow have renewed confidence, and in some ways that man, some part of him was like, so don't take that part away from me now. So I don't know, that's a little confusing.
What what might be a really good idea to get further clarity on that would be to take a page as a dream alchemy exercise, separate from your book, and do an extended conversation with the widower, the widowed man.
So you could start. In some ways, it represents a sense of the years of being with that vulnerability in others and not being with my own wounding, and a sense of helplessness and burnout. So that's kind of mixed in there too.
And particularly the burnout because you're so tired in the dream too and questioning your batteries.
Yes. And feeling helpless. A lot of situations in the book where I didn't have a voice and it was sort of moral outrage and which led to burnout in certain situations and projection and wanting to write it from another place, a place where it has more meaning.
Mm. Did you write, did you do a fair amount of the book just writing what was coming out anyway and then thinking, okay, that's not going to go in the book, but I'm glad I got that out there. Now let's pick the gems and let's work from there.
Yeah, well, and I already wrote a dissertation 5 years ago, and I'm taking everything out of that framework because I want it to be so the average person can relate to it. And, I read a great line about you're going to write your memoir. Nobody will care about your tragedy until you can sing about it.
And that's so right.
I'm one of the subtitles may be From a Singing Repose rather than before it was From a Heroic Angle of Repose. And so it had anger in it. And so I need to tell the truth, but it needs to be somewhat redeeming and also talk about the really beautiful, helpful, healing things that we do.
Absolutely. Look, there's your sense of the parachute, isn't it? You know, that it's the opposite to down. It's up and it's high and it's exciting, but also a parachute can save us. You know, if you're flying in a plane and the plane's going to go down, you can jump into your parachute in all the best fairy tales and movies, and you're saved. So, you know, the parachute may also be the saving grace or the singing, as you say, the song, the uplifting song, the singing repose, and the repose that you mentioned, you know, the drifting is a sense of repose as well, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, no, I like that.
Mm.
But I also think of the balloon and the condom blowing up, this tension, and then a sense of letting go, flying, breaking open, soul releasing, life-giving. I just thought about that too.
Oh, look, that's brilliant. I totally missed that. Well done, the condom being a balloon. I completely missed that one. Yes. So he was... He wasn't actually blowing up, but he was snapping it and popping it, wasn't he?
Yeah. So stretching it to give it more room. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, in a symbolic sense, that's all good. It was potentially a balloon as well, something to uplift. So well done on noting that. I missed that entirely. So the thing is that the dream has explored a lot of this, and you could do a dialogue on the side, but it sounds like you've already thought about that a lot. But you could do a dialogue with the widower guy. So you would start by, you know, a dialogue being done really fast without any conscious effort or editing, just to let your unconscious mind spill out and discover further, delve deeper into the symbolism of the widowed man. So you could start with you saying something to him about, like, I haven't seen you in such a long while. How are you? And taking it from there. But people often think, and I know this isn't how you think, Patty, but I just want to reiterate this for people listening. People often think, well, look, you have a dream, and the dream gives you a precise message about what to do next, you know. And a dream doesn't do that. A dream shows you where your mindset is at, and it lays it all out for you so you can understand yourself more deeply, and you can then decide where to go from there. So by the same token, the bottom line of a dream, you know, the end of a dream, a lot of people will go, oh, so what does it say at the end of the dream? Because that's what's going to happen. And your dream ends in an element of confusion. So your dreaming mind in that processing was not able to come to a final conclusion about what, you know, what the next best step or what the approach would be. It was kind of almost like to be continued because I'm currently confused. But but it did give you, but, you know, what I'm trying to say is the end of the dream wasn't giving you a message, well, don't go back to Italy then, or don't follow that one, or just as well you're home. You know, it left things open. So it's showing you that you are still, at the end of that dream, open-minded as to which route to take. Do I go, do I write this book and publish it coming out as, well, not really telling much truth at all, and people just see me as I've always been, career-wise and professional-wise, or do I really, as you say, go through all the stuff and sing the repose and come out in your professional standing in quite a different way? The question is open at the end of the dream, and it's for you to choose which way to go. But do you feel that just the brief discussion that we've had of your dream has enlightened your thoughts or feelings about this at all?
Yes, I think so. I mean, I thought about some of these things, but then I've also been told, you know, dreams are not always that obvious, and I knew that you would help me with deeper symbolism. I think that having the dialogue with the widower is probably a really good thing to do, and it kind of feels like, you know, because I do get feedback from a writing group, and they're always like, you know, I need to be kinder to myself, and are always amazed what I'm saying, and they always want to know more in certain parts. It's a lovely thing to do. So that may just consciously factor into it when I get going with the dialogue. So,
yes.
But it feels exactly right, and I when I had this dream, I had no idea I would feel so strongly about writing a book, and I had it was only you know, a week later, several days later, when I thought, yeah, I want to see if I'm going in the right direction with this, which is why I emailed you. But now it makes so much sense. But it feels good because I'm committed, whereas before I just had so much negative self-talk, and I kept getting frustrated and stopping. And so I'd take these other writing classes and write poetry and short essays. But now I know, I'm convinced, this kind of seals the deal that I need to stick with this. I want to stick with it.
That is just so lovely to hear, that total dedication and faith in a way as well, which is great. But, you know, to people listening in, you have to go down that route first, don't you? You have to go through identifying the negative self-talk and, you know, trying different alternatives and then realizing, you know, bouncing right back out of that corner, maybe with a snap, crackle, pop, I don't know, but bouncing right back out. I've been there, I've done that, I've explored that. I'm aware of my negative self-talk. That is better than denying it, better than just going, no, I'm going to be positive, I'm going to write this book. That doesn't really get the book done, and it doesn't get the book done in the singing, repose, healing kind of way that you've mentioned. But taking the time, because of your, you know, depth psychology background, taking the time to go into that and explore that and know yourself more deeply has, you know, totally brought you to this place now where you are absolutely able, with 100% confidence, to write what I'm sure will be a beautiful book.
Well, yes, and I know I need to slow down and drift and get out of the way and let my soul just do a lot of the work and just let it come and not stop and edit it along the way, or I'm never going to get to Italy. but I also love the snap, crackle stuff, because really that was so annoying in the dream, but, you know, it's the only really clear noise that I remember. It was definitely the noisiest, most annoying thing in the dream. So
yes.
I do think about that a lot.
Yeah, so that's something to, you know, on the side to get trained up about how to handle media, the snap, crackle, pop of media, what all the noise and the clatter about the book will be when it comes out. So you're trained up and prepared for that when it happens. You know, bearing in mind that, you know, of course, it's not about, oh, aren't I wonderful, I wrote a book, which a lot of people think the media thing is about. It's about, there are people out there that will get so much from reading this book for their own healing, and the only way I can tell them about it is to do this stuff. You know, I think that's the key sort of to bear in mind. Yeah, it may be snap, crackle, pop, but that's what I have to do to get this gift to people whose lives are going to benefit from it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I'll send you an email later, Timur, a little bit with the book title and what it is, because, you know, because we've said something, I don't want to be traced back.
Yes.
But I think you'd find it really interesting.
I would really love to hear that. And you know what my brain is also saying, and it may or may not be relevant, it's all roads lead to Rome. So, you know, it doesn't matter how long you have spent on this book, it's going to get there eventually.
Believe me, it's tugging at me over and over. Just when I wake up one morning and go, I think I'll just write for fun or write for my soul. Why do I need to write a book? And no, it keeps coming back over and over and over. And so, you know, I really want to do it because I'm miserable if I don't try.
That's right. And you're writing it for the people who are going to benefit from it.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, so many people have said this couldn't be more timely. I think you need to do this and take your ideas out of that dissertation and appeal to a broader audience, wider audience. And it helps nurses, helps their voice in today's industry and growing technology where medicine is such a big business.
Mm, that's absolutely fabulous, Patty. Look, you've as always, and as all our guests do, you know, you just bring so much material to the Dream Show. You know, we not only have a dream, but we go all over the place with it. And I know people often say to me, you know, just listening to a guest such as yourself on the show just brings up fodder for thought and meaning for life for weeks on end, just contemplating all the things we talk about. So thank you for being a wonderful guest on the Dream Show yet again.
Oh, I love it. It's so much fun. Thank you so much. Nobody looks at dreams like you do. It's so helpful.
Thank you, Patty. Thank you for listening to yet another episode of the Dream Show. And yet again, thanks and massive gratitude for all of you for listening, some of you for 10 years. If you've never shared the show, please think about sharing this episode or one of the other episodes that you've really enjoyed. Help us spread the word. We really do believe that keeping this show going is helping a lot of people out there, people that can get on the internet and can understand English. Everyone dreams, don't they? So this is for you. I'll speak to you next month with the next episode, episode 217. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.